When you're in the mood for a little entertainment, dude.
Do what?
Do it. Start the video.
Start it?
No, you're just hanging me here. Now I just feel like...
I'm sorry. This was a really bad intro.
From Los Angeles and Nashville, get ready to go behind the scenes with Entertainment Dudes. What happens when you pair a director,
cut,
a voice actor,
in a world,
and some of the most interesting people in entertainment? You're about to find out.
You're about to find out now.
Yes, you sure are. Welcome to another exciting episode of Cam's Chest, wearing our beautiful merchandise at Entertainment Dudes. You, where can you pick up that incredible merchandise, Cam? Go
Merch.
For it.
Merch.entertainmentdudes.com.
I swear you will.
And as I wash it, every time it gets softer and softer. At this point, it's almost like silk.
It's so smooth. It's just
smooth,
like when you slip it on,
luxurious.
It's luxurious. Yeah, it's luxurious.
It drapes over you after you the shower, you know, a little baby powder and just.
Wow, I think we just lost half our audience, Cam. Nice job. All two of you, come back. Come back, guys. We want you on the show. You know what else is, speaking of silky smooth, you know what else
silky
is silky smooth?
What?
Hair. Luxurious hair. Long locks of hair. And there are people in entertainment whose job it is to make sure that our actors and actresses actually look beautiful. They make hair. They style hair. They put little holes in people's heads and fill those holes with hair. Some people's heads are filled with hair. What?
They put holes in people's heads?
Yes, they stick holes in their heads and add extra hair. Well, maybe not the actor's head, but there is a head. And we have somebody who is actually very, very insanely talented at doing this.
Yeah.
And we're excited to have her on the show today. It is Ashley Ross. And she's going to tell us a little bit about what goes on.
She comes. It's Ashley Ross. Here she comes.
Oh, that's
she
my cue.
She puts holes in people's heads and puts hair in it.
Hey.
Okay, before we start out, I've always wondered, Ashley, were you responsible for this?
I wish.
Wait a minute. Okay, so sometimes, occasionally, Ray needs to trim her wigs and just decides that she's going to use me to
teamwork makes the dream work.
I don't know. I think I look kind of elfy. I think I'd make a good elf, you know? Like,
you know,
dye my eyebrows.
You look like Nelson. Yeah. Remember Nelson?
Mandela? I don't think I look anything like
Nelson.
Him.
Nelson.
No, my hair is much, much longer than his was. I think that's the only difference.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nelson, no.
Nelson.
So, Ashley, welcome. Welcome to the show. We're
Thanks
so excited.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. So, exactly, will you describe for us what you do day in and day out for when you're on set? Like, what are you required to do when someone says, I need hair? You've heard every request from the books. I know this.
I've had some interesting stuff for sure. So I start out hairstylist behind the chair. I still am a hairstylist at a salon, on my days off or whenever something comes up, whether it's from a special effects shop or from a sculptor, something for a private collection. I'll get the photographs of what they're trying to do. They'll give me the silicone head or the life cast of the person that's been run, if they're going to die in a scene and they're going to blow the head up or cut the head off or whatever, anything that involves the kill shot. Usually every time they shoot the kill shot from a different angle, it's another head. So if you see it from two different angles, that's two different fake heads. If it's, you know, three angles, I think the most I went up to was four angles where I had to do four duplicates of exactly what the actor looked like in the, like, right when they're going like, ah,
That's incredible. So when you get a mold, like what they just do a silicone mold or how does it stay solid or like?
So they'll take the actor's life cast and I think they call it a positive. And then Mike, my husband, usually runs a negative of it. And I'm probably screwing this up because it all sounds the same to me when he's telling me. But basically he's making a copy, a 3D copy out of silicone of the actor or the body part that we need or whatever. So like for Studio 666, every single like one of those band members, I probably had two to four of each of their heads that I did, you know, we had to go find wigs to match the actors. And then my best friend, Denise Bayer, who's one of the most amazing hair punching people in the business. We usually tag team most things, like because I'm friends with her and I do hair and she's great at what she does. She doesn't cut her color, but she can punch hairs in and do a beautiful quick job, or she can really spend some time on it. It could take a month. I'm kind of with her at the beginning of her process, because I will find the wigs, or sometimes she'll find the wigs. Sometimes I get clients at work to donate me hair when they've grown their hair out. They're like, hey, when I'm ready to cut this, like, you can have my hair, because I've talked about this enough times. So I have clients that donate hair. And then when I use it, I let them know, like, hey, it's used in this movie, in this scene, like, that's your head with your hair on it.
That's amazing.
Some people have like scrapbooking stations at home. Do you have a hair station?
I have bags
with, like,
of hair.
Bags of hair, like
filed so bags of hair. If nobody knew what you did and they just came over to your house randomly, like, what? Call the FBI,
you got my
quick.
My friend Denise's house, I mean, tons of hair. Hair everywhere. If she were to like get murdered and they were going to go like sweep it and try to find a hair, like, I mean, there would be thousands of suspects.
Do you recognize any of these people? And the line just keeps coming and coming. Yeah. And coming.
There's over 10,000 different hair strands in here. Yeah.
So what kind of different hairs, hair, I guess, what's the best type of hair that you use, or what do you like the best? And then how do you like style it, or, you know, is it, do you use synthetic hair, real hair always, or what do you go for?
Yeah. Everything, mostly prefer human hair, because we can color it, we can change the texture, we can perm it. We have like a lot more creative whatever to match the actor, because wigs only come in so many colors and they usually have to be tweaked. So I'll either like, you know, take out some of the gray that's already in the wig, or I'll add something. We'll perm stuff, we'll add the texture. So honestly, the one thing that is really hard to find, because most of the wig shops sell hair from like India and China. So finding fine, like actual soft, fine, long hair, blonde, white, white's probably the hardest to find. It's also the most expensive to have to buy.
Like,
that's synthetic.
I'm insulted. Real. How dare you insinuate,
you know,
Jason,
you actually have the perfect most wanted type of hair. It's an ash brown.
Very,
it's
very
fine.
Fine.
It's soft. Like,
very,
if you
very
want to
fine.
Grow out a ponytail, I can give you free haircuts the rest of the year.
Yeah, you're like, it's so wispy and light. And
but that's the hair we want.
Ah, okay. Well,
that's
I might
the
have
best
to,
hair for punching the hairlines on things, because you can get a wig and fake it. But
yeah,
that
right.
last inch is on everybody. Is that like very fine hair, and that's what makes it look real and not like a wig.
So how do you blend that in so it doesn't show out? I've actually even seen TV shows and stuff where I can look, and I'm not a wig expert, I'm like, that's a wig.
Yes.
Like, it's very obvious that that's a wig.
Yeah. Basically you cut off the like 1 or 2 inches of the perimeter of the wig, and then you put that on, and then the last, you know, all of the hairline above the ear at the nape of the neck, that's all punched. So my friend will go in and she'll punch all of that hair in. And then when that's done, I usually have to wait till the eyebrows and the lashes have been punched.
Okay.
Cause she like has the head in her lap as she's doing it. And it kind of screws up the hairstyle once I've like cut and dressed it.
Oh, that makes sense.
We have our system down of like, all right, let's like get the wig supplies or the hair or the fur, whatever we need, color it, get it on the head, and then I'll come back in and I'll do my thing. And it's a very weird and interesting niche that I had no clue existed until maybe 6 years ago. Like,
how did you find out about it?
So my husband's special effects guy, works over at K&B. It's a very small group, the special effects people, like the people who work in the shops and stuff like that. It's a very small knit community. And just, there was a couple times where people had heads that were completely punched or completely wigged. And people are like, I don't have anybody I trust to like cut this or dress this, or the hairstylist I've asked are uncomfortable with it and they're not sure how to deal with it. So my husband's like, my wife's a hairstylist. Like, I think she could do it.
I think so. She's amazing. I sell
he
her.
He knows I'm good. No,
very expensive. Very expensive.
But he didn't know if I was going to say yes. But I also, I like to try everything. I'm not scared to try something. It may take me, you know, really long in the beginning, but I'm down to give it a go. So my first job was a piece by Nick Mara, who's an amazing sculptor, like next level stuff. Like it looks like whatever he did is right there in the room with you. Mm. So his first thing that he was comfortable letting me touch was this Claire Forlani head.
And oh, we have a picture of that.
That was my first job ever doing this weird thing.
Yeah, that's amazing. So this is the face of that's the guy who created this head, this bust, right?
Yes, Nick Mara.
Ah, geez, it looks just like, it's so crazy how lifelike that is.
Yeah, it's a trip. Like, and the eyes were perfect. Like the way he positions the eyes in his stuff, it doesn't look static.
So do you talk to the heads when you're styling the hair, or does it get kind of creepy?
You know, sometimes you do inappropriate things with the heads at the end when you're like, I'm so over this.
And oh, man.
Like, you know, the pictures
where we'll cover that on Entertainment Dudes After Dark. So this is a children's program. So
mostly just kissing them on the cheek and taking the pictures.
Like, well, I wonder now that was a that wasn't for a film, right? That was because you have a private collector
for a private collection piece. Yeah.
So what do they do? Have you ever seen him? Is it like a whole figures they add to? Is it just busts or?
It's busts. It depends on what the person who's getting the piece wants. Like I've seen him put them on bodies, but when I get them, I just get like that same kind of situation, or I'll at least have shoulders.
Yeah.
Which is very helpful for me because you don't realize that when you're doing hair how much you rely on points of reference.
That makes sense.
Whether it's, you know, the eyes aren't in yet or there's no shoulders and you're looking at a picture of the actor and I'm like, well, I can tell where it hits with the shoulders. But So anyway, sometimes they're full bodies. Sometimes it's just busts and people have rooms in their houses where they put these things up and show them off to people. And that's like their thing. Mm.
My favorite one is this one right here.
Oh my God, Jeff Goldblum from The Fly.
Yeah, I know. Wow. I just watched Jurassic Park again today. So I'm like, hey, Jeff Goldblum, twice in a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's kind of creepy. And he's mounted on a board. So that's
And it was only like, let me see if I can show you. The head only went to here, just behind the ears. So there's nothing past this. So it was very strange cutting and dressing hair that's against a board. And it was weird. Like it's just cut off like at the ears.
Right. And then that's leaning against the board.
Mm-hmm. So trying to cut and style that when I can't get into my normal positions was really interesting.
And then this is real hair, human hair too.
Yes, that's human hair.
Wow. It's just incredible. How long does it last? Does it stay for
years?
Years and years and years. I mean,
it'll last forever. I'm sure the silicone will probably break down before the hair falls out.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
All right. So what about, let's talk about this one right here.
Ooh.
Oh, that was Princess Leia that I did for, I think, Jordu Shell, another talented sculptor. I think the Obi-Wan Kenobi was his as well. I think, don't quote me on that. Sorry if somebody's watching this and knows who did it. It all blends together after a while. Yeah. That Princess Leia that took 2 days.
Two days
because, oh, go ahead.
And that's just a color and style, 2 days.
No, that was the style took 2 days because I had a reference photo where the curls, how many rings there were on the thing, the direction, everything was had to be exact to the picture.
Right.
Wow.
So the first day, I think I worked, I got her into like, the ponytails, I added extensions in to make sure the length was correct, wrapped it a few times, started getting frustrated. So I had to walk away. I had to walk away because, you know, like you stare at something too long, you're just like, okay, I need fresh eyes, fresh mind. So I walked away for a day, came back. My friend poured me a whiskey and she's like, let's do it. My friend Denise.
You finally know what it feels like to be Han Solo. Oh, you're driving me crazy, woman. So Ashley, we were just talking a minute ago about the styles that you were doing and using the different hair. And you did mention that you have about four busts that you've had to do for the same scene. How do you match heads like this to make them look the same?
It's my least favorite thing to do. I usually and my friends the same way, we don't like doing more than one thing because we've tweaked everything to make it work and look exact. Mm-hmm. So when you got to do that, multiple wig forms, if you're trying to do four or five wigs to stick on first, or you try to line, you do your first head and then you end up busting out a measure, a ruler, and taking measurements and making sure you're hitting the same marks.
That's crazy.
And you'll have one as your master. And so all your duplicates, you refer to your master head. Otherwise, mm-hmm. it's like a telephoning effect. So if you do number one and then you do number two and then number three is copied off of number two, there could be some inconsistencies. And then you're just, telephoning the inconsistency to the fourth head. And by the end, you're like, whoa, this is a little longer than it should be.
Wow.
How do you not accidentally touch the first head and I mean, me, knowing me, I'd knock it over. It'd be bumped into or something. You're good. You're good. Awesome. That's really spectacular. So what about, let me see something here. I'm going to talk about this piece right here.
Ooh.
That was Alice Cooper, baby.
What was that one for?
Let's see. I think that went to somebody. It was actually put on a full body. I think that went to a private collection, but I think it was at Monster Palooza pre-COVID. I think it was at the 2019, might have been 2019 Monster Palooza.
Okay.
Yeah.
We know because if it was post-COVID or during COVID, it would have a mask on.
Right.
That's so true. Right. You would have been able to see its face. Okay. So walk me through the process. You get the head right here. Right. Mm-hmm. You'll just get a head with nothing on it. And then your friend, she punches each single strand, or how does it come? How do you get it to go
so
in the
head? Well, so this one was all wig because Alice Cooper has bangs. So we didn't need to punch anything because it's such a big thing. But it was a wig that I bought at Nigel's, a woman's wig. And it's actually a good priced wig too. So I just was like, hey, is this acceptable? And so my friend put the wig on, glued it all down. And then I just went in and cut and styled it because it was not nearly that curly. So I had to put a lot of texture in, tease, Aquanet, all the things.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's incredible.
But they had to punch the eyebrows and the lashes. And I think there's stubble on it. I don't know if that was painted sometimes when there's stubble. Depending on what the budget is, we will, my friend, she'll punch all the hair in and then shave it off or shave it really short so you can have that perfect stubble that's not painted on, because that's another way you can cheat it, is you can, paint the 5 o'clock shadow onto something depending on how closely it's going to be shot.
Yeah, I would say it doesn't look as real. You can almost always tell. Mm-hmm. Except for a long distance. Yeah, I guess if you're doing a long distance shot, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. But if this is something that, people are going to look at, it's going to Monster Palooza, Son of Monster Palooza, or some type of trade show. And people are going to be up close and looking at it wow, somebody punched a freaking stubble in. wow, she'll punch nose hairs. You're not really going to see the nose hairs, but she's when they pull that thing out of the box and they look at it, you're going to see nose hairs.
So how do you donate nose hairs? I'm just curious.
I really want to know for our viewers if you're really interested. You're looking for nose hair.
Denise has touched that.
ear hair, too. So, ear hair and nose hair.
She's done that. She's punched those in.
Oh, she's got little boxes dedicated nose hair, ear hair.
We've got skunk pelts and all of little animal pelts for things because sometimes you need hair with a tapered end. You can't just use cut hair because the end's too blunt. So on mm-hmm. an eyebrow or on certain things on the face, you need something that has a tapered end. So we use some fur, which I usually find in Texas when I go there to do hair. I get my furs and I bring them back. Call PETA on me now.
Hey, so what is the difference as far as working on a real person and working on one of these lifeless figures for a movie? I mean, are there any precautions that you have to take or anything different that you have to do? You know, could a regular technique that you use absolutely ruin the...
Oh, for sure.
So what happens there? What do you have to watch out for?
Like on a person, the haircuts are a lot faster. That's for sure. Because it's easier to move the head around. Like you can have them tilt their head down, all that jazz. When I'm doing stuff for film or for like art pieces, a haircut sometimes will take me 2 hours, if I'm kind of trucking along, if it's a men's haircut. Sometimes I've done intricate hairstyles and like fashion-y stuff that, you know, takes 6 to 8 hours and I split it up in a couple of days. But the good thing is with doing that, I can sit in my house and put on some shows and, you know, enjoy some White Claw and do my thing and just get into the zone and do it. Where, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't feel like talking to your client. Just kidding.
Yeah, especially in my case.
Jason, you always have me busting up in stitches when you come in.
We do have a good time.
I think the whole salon looks forward to when you and Ray come in. It's just laughter everywhere.
And often we duo that together. Like, it's like, so what do you have to do when you have this type of hair and you need to do a cut?
Hey, those cat whiskers are quite useful with punching.
You need to do a nice trim maybe on the back hair here, you know?
Totally.
So,
you know, little highlight action.
What are some things that you think you learned in this process? Obviously, you have to be a doer, really, to kind of, like, you have to be okay with being a doer, I'd say.
Yeah, there's really no manual for how to do it. It's kind of word of mouth. If you're just a well-rounded hairstylist, like, you know, you can do a little bit. You're not afraid to perm. You're not afraid of men's cuts. You're not afraid of a razor cut. You're, you know, pretty accurate with a clipper. If you're a well-rounded stylist, this is something you can easily kind of like, if you can make some connections in the special effects world, hairstylists in the special effects world, it's very, it's not oversaturated at all. I'm busy because there's really not any competition. And I've been doing this for a while now. So I have little tips and tricks to not screw things up or, you know, go a little slower or kind of think outside the box because there's not like a price sheet, like learning what to charge for these things. Like it's not the same as doing it on a person. It's, you know, it's for film or it's for an art piece and there's a tight budget. You never know. Like, but there's nobody who, you know, you can really go to and be like, hey man, like, what did you charge for this? Like, how much should I invoice, you know, the production? And then they don't really know either. So sometimes you throw in a bid or, you know, you tell them like, hey, it's going to be this much. And sometimes you're like, oh my God, that's amazing. And other times you're like, really? And you're like, yeah, really? My time is valuable. But it's just kind of like a path that's not really been tread. So there's nobody to like really hold my hand or tell me like, you know, hey, this is how you do this and this is how you do that. I'm really kind of been figuring this out along the way and asking, I'm like, what do you guys think is fair? Like, what's, you know, how much time do I get for this? And, you know, you can't have fast and amazing and cheap. Like you got to pick some, you know, pick two out of three.
I know that you're really, really self-motivated. And I think there's that kind of piece whenever you're doing independent contracting or you're working for yourself, you have to have those tools. What would you say for someone who is really, like, what aspects to get started in this if you're a hair salon? Like, what kind of things you have, what kind of tools do you have to have if you're going to begin to try to make this transition that are, like, must-haves?
Like actual physical tools or like the mental tools?
Both. Let's go both because I think you already hit on it. One of them, just how do you even figure out what to charge?
Right.
And then just actual physical tools.
So physical tool wise, the bare basics, like you need a canvas wig block and you need something that is, you know, they sell all this stuff at Nigel's. So I've gotten most of my wig stuff from Nigel's and I've just kind of accumulated it. I love Nigel's Beauty Emporium. But having, you know, there's very small curling irons that you think nobody would ever use. That is one of the biggest tools that I use all the time, way more than a large curling iron. It's a very small one. And my friend has a flat iron that's actually used as like a lash curler. It's from Japan. It's very, you can't even really find them. Nigel sells, I think, one of them. I haven't decided to invest in that piece yet, but I'm going to when hers dies because I borrow hers a lot. But without,
and you might be the one who kills it.
I could be. And then she's like, you better buy me another one. But that one tool, that will make or break your finishing product, is having this, it's a couple millimeter wide flat iron, because when you're using a wig, you can really lay the root down, like at the root, depending on like how it is tied, you can really like get the bulk out of a wig without having to cut too much out. Sorry, Denise, I'm giving away all your secrets. No, I'm just kidding. But basically, you need a pair of decent scissors that you are not going to use on your normal clientele, because the synthetic will kill your scissors. And just having basically separate scissors, separate thinning shears, tons of feather razors, canvas block, and a small curling iron. And if you can get your hands on it, tiny, tiny flat iron eyelash bender. Those would probably be the biggest tools to have.
Do you ever use tweezers?
Yes.
Honestly, that had to be, I imagine, like.
Yeah, you know, you could like pick the part, pick the hairline, create some baby hairs.
Are you on set as well? If it happens to be for a TV or a movie, are you there to keep it?
I've been to set. I've done not like a ton of big production, but I've done enough like music videos and independent film stuff where there were wigs involved, or like having to preset wigs ahead of time and then putting those on. Learn how to lay a wig, learn how to lay down some lace. There's a lot of good TikToks on it, believe it or not. I think, what else?
I want to see this one real quick because I think it's pretty freaking cool.
Yes.
Obi-Wan. This is amazing.
OG Obi-Wan.
Yeah. That was awesome.
How did you...
I think Denise might have punched that whole head thing because his hair's so fine you can see through, you know, because he's an older dude.
Yeah.
So that, I think the entire head had to be punched, and she punched all that facial hair, the eyebrows, and then I went and cut and styled that.
It's incredible. It's really incredible. So that beard's real hair too, right? Like you talked about?
100%.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Now on there, on the differences, do you actually dye it, or do you have different colored hair that you put in?
No, we have different colored hair. And like, as she's going along, she'll usually like chalk out where she wants the color variations to be. Right. So we're going to do this here, and then we're going to gradiate into this next color and gradiate it back out. Wow. So she's painting one hair at a time, and she's putting them where they need to be.
And that's amazing.
I paint the hairs ahead of time, so she's got options on her easel.
Yes. Let's see. Let me see this one here. Tell me about your shop. So this is what you've got right here in your shop, right?
That's my buddy's shop. That's Nick Mara's shop.
Okay. Okay.
So over at his house and doing a Mr. Michael J. Fox. This head had been done a handful of years before, so I did not style or cut this original thing, but it needed to get refurbished. So I think the person who owned it was like, hey, he needs a little zhuzh action. So I went back in and I kind of fixed a few spots, thinned some stuff out. So I would just want to naturally lay a little bit differently. And then restyled it back up, so it's good to go for another like maybe 2-3 years.
That's amazing. I didn't realize there was that many people who collect busts or heads like that. I didn't think that would have been like a. Yeah. I didn't know if that was a regular thing.
There's a group, and a lot of those are kind of like, I think they're for. I think all those Star Wars pieces might have been for the same dude or same.
Oh, wow.
It's like two dudes. That are like super into like these ultra realistic pieces, and they've got quite the collections.
That'd be incredible to see that. Obviously, those are his private collections. But all right, what about this one right here?
Oh yeah, my little Pennywise maquette. I think that was for Steve Wang. So hey. I think I've done a handful of those.
Now I noticed in the movie he had a hairline more hard, like a harder hairline in the actual series. So how do you do a hairline like this as a wig in the series when it's a hard hairline? Is it easier or?
No, it's this one. It's incredible. This is actually a hard hairstyle. That one is on a tiny head. So it was like, you know, maybe this big, and it was all punched with, yak, I believe, or Angora. So it fluffed really nice. I've done the full size ones, which are just a nightmare. It's a challenge. It was good. It was a good challenge. But everybody has different things that they, their eye focuses on with Pennywise, whether it's the way this kind of like goes up and bows forward and then back. And then how does this drop in the back? Is it there? Is it up here? There's a lot of technical aspects to Pennywise hair with the hair. And sometimes, you know, you got to send it to the sculptor and be like, hey, what do you think about this? And they'll be like, okay, I need the back to be a little higher. I need this to be a little wider. So sometimes you get them the first shot and sometimes, you know, they're really like, it needs to be exact. And you're like, okay, here we go. Here's the picture, make the corrections and, you know, try to like keep it going and don't get frustrated with yourself.
All right. Thanks, Ashley. We'll be right back. Wow. We're going to have even more from Ashley Ross coming up next. We did Pennywise was the last thing she showed us. And we're going to find out more tips and tricks next time on Entertainment Dudes. Isn't that right, Jason? Oh, you're scaring me.